of the 20th century, or I guess of the modern age, would be heating and air conditioning. I remember I once had a car that didn't have air conditioning, and I know Alabama summers aren't as bad as here, but they're still pretty bad. And I only had two working windows, and they worked on the passenger side and the back window, so I didn't really get to enjoy it. And every time I would get out of the car, I would literally have to dry myself off. I'm a very warm-natured person, so it doesn't take much for me to get hot. However, my wife is on the other end of the spectrum. It doesn't take much for her to get cold, so we kind of go back and forth with the AC. But I want to start by asking you a question. Are you a thermostat or are you a thermometer? Now, what's the difference between a thermostat and a thermometer? Well, a thermometer is affected by its environment. If it's really hot, it goes up, and if it's really cold, it goes down. A thermostat, on the other hand, is uninfected by the environment, and in many cases, if you have a good one, it changes the environment. It makes it either hot or cold. As we're about to see, Paul was unaffected by his environment, and in many ways, he changed it for the better. If you will turn with me to Philippians chapter 4, and we're going to start at verse 10. But before I do, let me set a little bit of the context up. The Philippian church was a generous congregation. They were a very mature congregation. Paul actually gave them very little correction in his letter. And so as being a mature congregation, they had helped him financially on his journeys. Read with me verses 15 and 16. Paul writes, "You yourselves also know, Philippians, that at the first preaching of the gospel after I left Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving but you alone. For even in Thessalonica you sent a gift more than once for my needs." And Paul didn't always accept money. He didn't always accept contributions. If you will turn over with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 11 and 12. Paul says, "If we sowed spiritual things in you, is it too much if we reap material things from you? If others share the right over you, do we not more? Nevertheless, we did not use this right, but we endured all things so that we would cause no hindrance to the gospel of Christ." And in verse 18, he says, "What then is my reward, that when I preach the gospel, I may offer the gospel without charge, so as not to make full use of my right in the gospel?" Paul was a hard worker for God. And he wasn't a Christian. He wasn't a preacher for money or for glory or for fame or to be liked, because, frankly, that rarely ever happened. But every once in a while, he would accept a financial gift to help him continue preaching. And we see that's exactly what the Philippians did in verse 10. "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now that at last you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned before, but you lacked opportunity." And so the Philippians, they send Paul some financial help, especially since he's in prison. It would go a long way. But I want us to focus to what he says in verse 11. He says, "Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstance I am in." Paul was unaffected by his environment. What he was saying to the Philippians is that, "I really don't need it. I will be content. I will make it no matter what happens." Now, let's look what he says in verse 17 through 19. He's actually more concerned about what it's going to do for them versus what it's going to more concerned about what it's going to do for them versus how it's going to affect him. He says, "Not that I seek the gift itself, but I seek for the profit which increases to your account. But I have received everything in full and have abundance. And I am amply supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you have sent, a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God." And my God will supply all of your needs according to the riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Now I want us to ask ourselves a question. Paul learned to be content regardless of how he was treated or how he was helped by others. Now, are we dependent on others for our own happiness or our own contentment? I'm sure we have that one coworker at work who might make our lives a little difficult, or we might have a boss who's a little inconsiderate, or we might have a family member who is not as emotionally mature as they need to be, and that can cause us a lot of heartache. But regardless of how much help Paul had, he was going to be content. In fact, he said he would be content in all circumstances. Read with me verse 12. He says, I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. Now, Paul mentions two things that are difficult for most people. One is to endure or to be content in humble means. During the Great Depression, suicide rates went up 20%. It was a very difficult time for everybody, but some people just couldn't handle it. In fact, when things are difficult for a lot of people, they might blame God, or they might blame their family, or they might focus on other things to blame and instead of working through the issue. Paul, I think, was an expert at suffering. If you'll turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Starting at verse 24 through 28, he says, 5 times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. 1 night and a day I have spent in the deep. I have been on frequent journeys in dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, danger on the sea, dangers among false brethren. I have been in labor and hardships through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food, and in cold and exposure. Now, pay attention to what he says in verse 28. Apart from such external things, there is daily pressure on me for concern for all the churches. Paul, as a preacher, endured many difficult things, but his concern was for what God wanted him to do. And regardless of what he was going through, he found contentment in doing his duty. Now, many people, they don't know how to handle suffering, but Paul was able to find contentment in Christ. Not only was he able to find contentment in humility, but he was able to find contentment in prosperity. Now, we've all heard the horror stories about people who win the lottery. And many of them say that it would have been better if they hadn't won it at all because it brought along many other issues. It might also surprise you to know that 60% of athletes in the NBA lose all their wealth in 5 years. In fact, athletes in the it was 60% of NBA players lose all their wealth in 5 years, but 78% of NFL players go broke within just 2 years. They get it all so fast that they don't know how to handle it, and they lose it all so quickly. And there are often serious obstacles to our faith when we are prosperous. Jesus plainly said that it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. There's a man by the name of Agur in Proverbs 30. If you will turn with me there, we're going to read verses 8 and part of 9, and he perhaps provides insight why that is. He says, keep deception and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food that is my portion, that I will not be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Now, people point out how young I am all the time, and I've gotten used to it. I know I'm pretty young, and I know I don't have as much life experience as many other people do. But what I have learned is that I learn more when I suffer, or when there's trials I have to go through. I learn very few things when I'm happy. I learn very few things when I'm comfortable. When we're prosperous and when things are going good in our life, we're not pushed to grow like we are when we have to go through trials. In fact, that's probably why Jesus said what he said, because when things are easy, we often forget where all these good things come from. But Paul was plain when he stated it plainly when he said, I learned how to be content, not just in humility and in prosperity. And in verse 13, we see why. He says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Now, this is a verse we often see maybe on Facebook or on t-shirts or maybe on billboards. And it's a verse most people know. But the way certain people use it, it makes me wonder if they understand what Paul is talking about. Most people use it in the way that, well, I can be a great athlete because I can do all things through him who strengthens me. And I suppose that's true. I mean, if God blessed you with that ability and you work hard, you might be able to say that. But I don't think that's what Paul is talking about. What Paul is talking about is that I can endure all things through him who strengthens me. Whether I am blessed or whether I suffer, I can endure and I can be content. Now, you may ask yourself, well, how does Christ strengthen me? How did Christ strengthen Paul? I think in one way in which Paul was strengthened, and we see especially in this book, is that he was strengthened through Christ's promise. In John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3, you see that Paul is telling his disciples that he's leaving, that he's going to die. And they're actually heartbroken about this. Peter says, why can't I go with you? And Jesus leaves them with this promise. He says that where I am going, I will come again and gather you to myself, that where I am, you will be also. And if you have any free time tonight, I want you to read the book of Philippians and see how many times Paul talks about this promise. And in chapter 1, Paul talks about, he kind of almost has an argument with himself. He says, is it better to stay here and to preach the gospel, or is it better to go and be with the Lord? That promise pushed him to keep going, knowing that one day he would be united with his God. I think another way in which Paul found strength is knowing that God worked in his life. Paul wrote in Romans 8, 28, that God causes all things to work for good for those who seek him, for those who are called according to his purpose. Now, God works in our lives in a spiritual way, but God also works in our lives, in the lives of a Christian, in a providential way. Whether things are going good or going bad, God can cause all that to work for the greater good. And Paul could take special comfort in that, especially since he's writing these words while he's in prison. And I think another way in which Paul found strength is simply in the love of Christ. Now, let's remember what Paul was before he became a Christian. Jesus said plainly that as he persecuted the church, he was persecuting Christ himself. And I think one of the most vivid ways in which Paul persecuted the church, it says that he compelled Christians to blaspheme. Paul was trying to turn Christians against God, and I can't think of a more heinous thing than that. But Paul knew that he was forgiven, and he knew that God loved him and that he would be with him. And the way in which Christ strengthened Paul is the same way in which he strengthened us today. Now, I know contentment is hard, is a hard thing for a lot of Americans because our culture does not condition us to be content and actually does the opposite. It always pushes us maybe to make more money or to have better things as people, we should always work to be better. But we should also work to be content and to be satisfied. And if we apply the same attitude that Paul applied to his life, we can find that source of contentment. Now, as you can imagine, that's probably not an overnight thing. It probably takes time to cultivate that kind of attitude and that kind of lifestyle. But when people see us as Christians, when we struggle or when we go through trials, or even when we're prosperous and others see that kind of attitude, they'll know why. And if there is anyone here tonight who cannot have that attitude because you have not put Christ on in baptism, or if there is anyone here who has once followed God and is not walking in a manner that's pleasing to Him, or if there's anyone here who simply needs prayers of encouragement, we'd be glad to pray for you or do it at whatever we can. If there is anything at all, please come to the front and you will be waited on as we stand and sing.